Thanks, Bill, for the introduction. You all hear me? The first five slides are going to be introduction. So since we're breaking from a coffee break, you guys are going to have a chance to take a seat and be comfortable. Then I'm going to talk about material methods and results. So some of the facts is that golf courses in the United States, as presented on this survey, comparing data from 2013 to 2005, we are seeing that there is a significant increase on the number of golf courses. They're using recycled water, and all of the other water sources have been decreasing the usage on golf course. The other fact that we're seeing from this survey is that the usage or handheld moisture sensor have significantly increased from 2005 to 2013. Most likely in 2005, the question was probably not answered, was not present in the survey, and some of those sensors were not present in the market. The number of golf courses they're using this handheld moisture sensor are ranging from a 23% to up to a 43%. So it's quite a few number of golf courses are familiar with the use of these moisture sensors. So switching to recycled water, I'm showing here a table of some of the parameters for water quality. On your right side is the potable water for Las Cruces. pH is pretty much the same across all the water types. What you see increasing is the electrical conductivity from 0.6, and for recycled water is between 2 and 2.3. The total dissolved solids increase, and also you have an increase on sodium absorption ratio, also known as SAR. We have different types of soil moisture sensors they're using golf courses. Most of you are familiar with the TurfGuard from Toro. There's also the TDT from Acclima, which now is Rainbird. Other sensors in the market are, for example, the 5TE from Decagon. I saw a presentation earlier showing a picture of that. And then in science, we use a lot the Campbell Scientific. And these are just to name a few. There is a lot more in the market. For the moisture sensor, they're handheld and carry on the golf course. Most of you are probably familiar with the TDR-100 or the TDR-300. The difference between the two is the encasing, I guess. So the TDR-300 is carried on a handheld, so you can carry it. The 100 is just the top part connected with a wire and the rods. And recently introduced in the market, we have the Pogo from Stevens Water, and these are the two probably most popular sensors that the superintendent are familiar. So the objective of the study was to evaluate the accuracy of two handheld, which are the Field Scout 100 and the Pogo, and two permanently installed sensors, the TurfGuard and the Decagon, in a USGA sand irrigated with saline water levels ranging from 0 to 40 decisiemens. As I said, I used four sensors. The Field Scout that I used in this study was the 100, although the data could be very similar to the 300. I mean, they're exactly the same as the 300, so I can either say 100 or 300, but it's just a different name for the same instrument. I used the Pogo, TurfGuard, and the 5TE. I used USGA sand and 10 solution with different salt content from 0, 0.5, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 15, 20, and 40 decisiemens, and T solutions were made using sodium chloride as a source of salt or salinity. The different amount of solution were added to PVC containers that were filled with sand to produce a gradient of moisture ranging from 0 to 35%. The sand and the solution were mixed to assure accurately distribution of soil moisture across the column. The soil moisture for each of these columns was gravimetrically determined, and then the soil moisture readings were also recorded from each sensor on for each column. And at the end of the measurement, samples were collected from each of these columns, and we determined salinity on the saturated paste extract. And for this experiment, we have 4 applications. As you might have seen the report on USGA, this is a little bit different study. The one we presented for USGA had limitation. I was limited on the number of applications I could fit inside a chamber, the pressure chamber. I could also not collect the soil sample to determine saturated paste at the different moisture levels. And as sand dried very quickly, I could not achieve a good number of gradient in soil moisture. The limitation on this study, represented on in this graph, where I have my gravimetric moisture content and the salinity on the saturated paste extract. I don't have a high salinity content and a low volumetric moisture content. This is because as I'm adding saline water, I'm increasing the salinity, but if I don't add water, I'm not increasing the salt content. So some of the results here, all of the graphs will be the same. On my x-axis, I have the gravimetric moisture content, and on my y-axis, I have the moisture content as read on the instrument. For the TDR 300, my range goes from 0 to 200. As you already understand, 200 is not possible for soil, as we're supposed to be on the 35% maximum. However, this is what the instrument was showing, as the reading was affected by the salt content. The black line here represents the ratio 1:1, and as you can see for the TDR 300, a water salinity from 0 and 0.5 decisiemens were very close to the 1:1 ratio, and as my salinity of the water increased, the slope of each regression changes. The R-square from 0 to 40 decisiemens was between 0.96 and 0.99, so the reading were really accurate, have a high correlation with the gravimetric moisture. So the only thing that was changing was actually the slope. For the POGO, the scale has changed from 0 to 100. As you can see, for a good range of water salinity, all of my regression are very close to the 1:1 ratio. I've seen a little bit of increase here when salinity of 15 and 20 decisiemens is starting to use. And then the really good change happened when I'm using a salt content of 40 decisiemens per meter. For the R-square, for 0 to 20 decisiemens, it was between 0.94 and 0.99. And for 40 decisiemens, was 0.88. For the decagon, we're seeing similar results as the POGO, in which for most of the salinity, all of my regression line are very close to the 1:1 ratio, and the big deviation happened at 40 decisiemens. The R square for 0 to 20 decisiemens was between 0.97 and 0.99, and for the 40 decisiemens it was 0.83, And these sensors, actually, from the company, they're calibrated for up to 7 decisiemens. So going above that was just an experiment. For the turf care sensors, we are seeing that all of the salinity levels are very close to the line 1-to-1 ratio, indicating that this type of sensor was not affected by salinity. And the R-square from 0 to 40 decisiemens was between 0.81 to 0.99. So in summary, the FieldScout TDR-300 measure soil moisture accurately at the lowest salinity level, so between 0 and 0.5 decisiemens. So if you are using that type of water or you have that salinity in the soil, I would not worry. And I would just consider that your TDR-300 is very precise. As the salinity increased, the moisture readings were higher than the measured value, but they deviated linearly. So the things that changed was the slope. Therefore, using accurate calibration, the TDR-300 could report moisture content accurately. And I'm assuming that's what they were trying to do, or they're trying to do on the TDR-350. Which measure and adjust for EC. The POGO and the 5T sensors perform well to water salinity level as high as 15 decisiemens, and the turf care sensor was the least affected by salinity, maintaining accurate readings with salinity as high as 40 decisiemens. And if you have salinity at 40 decisiemens, your concern will definitely be not the accuracy of your moisture sensor. Thanks. So for future project, I would like to include high salinity at low moisture level. It would be interesting to see adding a turf gas component. In this case, I only have like sand that was mixed with water. So adding the root part of the organic matter could change the result. Different soil type could potentially have an effect in using other salt other than sodium chloride. I would like to thank the team of New Mexico State, USGA for providing fundings, and Toro Spectrum Technologies and Stevens Water for providing the sensor for the research. With that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
Any questions?
Yes.
Well, I wonder, have you looked at the differences in volume of incorporation of these different types of sensors, meaning the actual volume measured by each of them? Since you're using a column setup, I mean, is there any interferences, or how does that affect
So the question is the volume of soil detected by the sensors, or the volume of soil displaced by the sensor? Generally speaking, the sensor has a range of detection within few centimeters from of soil. My columns were 12 inches wide, and the sensor was fit in the center. So I would assume that it was taking the readings within the soil and not within the edges of the column.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.